I'm Dr. Barbara Byers, and I'm back today to talk about the discipline of the Lord. So I was having lunch with some friends last week, and I asked them, what comes to mind when you think about the discipline of the Lord? And the first one said, what I've learned about God's discipline is that it's about love. And the second one said, it changes us and it brings us into such freedom. So I love that. Love, transformation, freedom. That sounds great. The suffering of discipline doesn't sound so great though, does it? So what is God's discipline? Well, it's his intentional training of his kids. He wants to transform us into his character. Just like parents want to help their children develop and grow and become fully who we're created to be. So it's about adjustment, change, transformation, development. It is not about punishment and it is not about condemnation. That formation in us takes discipline, and it's from the root word disciple, which just means it's a follower of someone's teaching or lifestyle. So as Christians, we're followers of Jesus. Proverbs 3 says, don't despise the Lord's instruction. My son, don't loathe his discipline. That's a pretty strong word. So being developed, maturing, must always include some forms of discipline as he's shaping us. James 1, 2-4 in the Message says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. I doubt if that's our first response usually, to say, oh, what a gift this suffering is. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. God doesn't want to leave us to our own devices and our own resources. He wants to develop us. And all we have to do, you know, is look at David. Here was a man after God's own heart. He had such a destiny, and yet he was chased around. He was under restriction. He lived in caves. He ran for his life. There was deprivation. But he was being developed and disciplined for his destiny, which is to rule and reign and leave a heritage thousands of years later, even for us today as we read the Psalms. God doesn't stand aloof when we go through discipline. His mercy is so great. He notices everything. He cares about everything. Even if he doesn't intervene and stop it when we would like him to, his presence is never removed from us. And Proverbs tells us that the righteous ones shine brighter and brighter until the fullness of that day. As we develop, as we're well formed, we shine brighter and brighter, and we reflect more and more of him. Now, I think it's a little bit strange but interesting that later James goes on to hold up Job as our example of the Lord's intentions and the Lord's dealings. Do you remember Job? You remember Job. If you've read those 40 plus chapters, he was worried about his children, that the great pain and distress came on him for a long period of time that humbled him. But wow, what he saw in the end of God's restoration. But James says it this way in 5:11, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. His discipline is always about his mercy as well. In the Message, it says, you've heard, of course, of Job's staying power, and you know how God brought it all together for him at the end. That's because God cares right down to the last detail. So the discipline of the Lord is his dealings with us. You ever been dealt with by the Lord? I sure have, and they are tailor-made to address what needs to be addressed in our soul. We don't much like it at the time. And you know, often it comes through other people, which can be really hard on us, but we learn to endure, we learn to forgive, we learn to pray for wisdom, we learn to hold our torn emotions before the Lord and to wait for understanding Him, to trust Him to bring beauty from ashes. Hebrews 1 begins by reminding us of the great cloud of witnesses who are watching us run our race, waiting to receive the full reward, because they're also still waiting for the great harvest. And it says, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, so since surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Discipline takes endurance, doesn't it? And is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're looking to Jesus. We're seeing how He endured. We see the outcome. He's seated at the right hand of God. Joy is His. And then just a few verses later in Hebrews 12, in verses 5 through 13 and verse 15, He says, have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? Now, He says, this is a word of encouragement. See if this sounds encouraging. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastens everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live, fully alive, live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, no kidding, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Then He says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. If you're failing under the discipline, you know, strengthen yourself in the Lord so that you can endure. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. We can get into bitterness when we get disappointed, when we get disciplined, when we're suffering. And He says, you see to it, make sure that's not the direction you go. So I just want to pull seven things out of this passage I read very quickly. In verse 5, He says, don't regard the discipline of the Lord lightly, but don't faint from it either. So don't shrug it off. It's important, but don't be crushed under it. Take it seriously, but know that God is at work, and that's your confidence that you have a good Father doing this work and directing your life. The second thing is, in verse 7 and 8, the discipline of the Lord just demonstrates our sonship. We are His sons and daughters. We belong to Him, and every child whose father loves him or her is disciplined by that father, and so are we. The third thing is, verse 9, when we submit to His discipline, we really live. We really come alive. We really become His holy ones, consecrated, set apart, and being molded to look like Him. Fourth thing is, verse 11, the sorrow comes first, then the fruit comes. The fruit comes afterwards. The sorrow never seems pleasant. It feels painful in some way, whatever it is, because there's so many ways that discipline can be over us. Let's put it that way. But oh, such fruit that comes later. When there's pruning, it's just, there's just that much more fruit that comes. And you know, the temporary things in our lives get sifted out and lost in the wind, if you will. But the eternal things, the things really of the Lord, are kept, and they are ours forever. fifth thing is in verse 11, he says, there is this like, you know, clause that says, for those trained by it. Some people will not submit to the Lord's discipline. They become bitter, or they're crushed under it, or they blow it off. But he says, if you notice it and take it seriously, it will train you in some way for those trained by it. We don't always comply with our training, right? Have you ever had a personal trainer and they say, okay, I'll meet with you once or twice a week, and then the other days you're supposed to do this or that, and we don't always comply. And so sometimes the Lord has to take us back through again and again and again because we haven't yet been trained by it. It's like the Israelites in the desert, they had to go around the mountain again and again and again till they got it. And then he finally said to them, all right, turn north and head out. And the discipline needs to take. And sometimes we prolong our own discipline by, you know, resisting it, rather than receiving it and saying, Lord, do your work in me. We can collaborate with the Lord in that way, and it doesn't prolong it. Sixth thing is when he says, therefore, be strengthened and be straightened and be healed. It's a wonderful promise if you'll receive it, what the discipline does. And then the last thing he said that I've already emphasized is he says, yield to it. Don't become bitter. Guard your heart against any kind of bitterness. So we should welcome God's correction and reproof and instruction. All those are forms of discipline, not just reproof. And what I've noticed is if we kind of don't get it the first or second and third time, you know, it gets a little more difficult. Proverbs 1:23 says, you should respond to my rebuke. Then I would pour out my thoughts to you. I would make my words known to you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So we welcome his discipline because we fear the Lord. We want his ways. We don't live for an imminent outcome. We live for eternity. We live to have pure hearts and to bring glory to the King of Glory. So just a passage that gives an example of the Lord's dealings is in 2 Chronicles 33:7-13. And Manasseh, I'll just read a little bit of this. He put an idolatrous image he made in God's temple. And God had said to David and to Solomon, the temple which I have chosen will be my permanent home. I won't make Israel leave the land again that I gave to their ancestors, provided they obey all I commanded them, the whole law, the rules and regulations given by Moses. But Manasseh misled the people of Judah and the residents of Jerusalem, so they sinned more than all the nations whom the Lord had destroyed. God had destroyed all these nations, and then they come in and their sin is even worse. So the Lord confronted Manasseh and they paid no attention. Now this is, you see, the progression of discipline. God speaks, they didn't obey his voice, and so he confronts them. They're still not obeying. So then the Lord brought against them the commanders of the armies of Assyria, and the Assyrians were cruel people. They seized him, put hooks in his nose, bound him with chains, carried him away to Babylon. But in his pain, Manasseh asked the Lord for mercy and humbled himself. And when he prayed, the Lord responded and answered favorably his cry for mercy. The Lord brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. And then Manasseh realized that the Lord is the true God. That's what he wanted to discipline in his heart, that Manasseh would know who he really was and would lead his people in righteousness. And you know, would that our first response is obedience. Our first response is to notice and pay attention, but we can eventually get there by repentance and humility and obedience. And we're not to spurn his rebuke. You know, Proverbs 1 says, if we spurn his counsel, we're going to eat the fruit of our own ways. And it is tragic when we are left to our own ways. So I'll close with this quote, Scott Hahn's book, The Lamb's Supper. He says, God isn't vindictive, but brings fatherly discipline and love, a suffering that is remedial, restorative, and redemptive. God's fatherhood does not lessen the severity of his wrath or lower the standard of justice. On the contrary, a loving father requires more from his children than judges demand from defendants. Yet a good father also shows greater mercy. So if you're under the discipline of the Lord, no matter what the source, remain steady, remain steady. Ask the Lord, what are you teaching me in this? What are you training? How can I respond to you better, Lord? What do you want to divest me of? What do I need to forgive? And you know, just so often we don't see. Job said in the midst of his suffering, show thou me what I do not see. So being disciplined is good news when we can see new things in it. I bless you. And until next time, join me again.